Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and we are also broadcasting a simulcast with ESETI Stargate on the YouTube channel. So you can go and interact with the guests and our ESETI family there as well. There's so much going on right now. If you want to find out what's going on, go to the newsletters, because we've been putting everything out on the newsletters. I've been a little slack lately because I've been out in the gardens and putting in some massive gardens here this year, but I'm going to get back to it and give people an update. I know almost everything I've been doing is getting censored, because anytime we talk about the scamdemic, I'm going to borrow that from David, we get in trouble, you know. So they put a little thing on there and they've been messing with us. I don't know what they're doing, but anyway, tonight's show, I've got a great guest. I've got is it Shurgen? Am I saying that right?
Shurgen. Yeah, that's right.
Shurgen. David Shurgen. And he's a longtime entrepreneur. He's a venture capitalist and former athlete whose track record includes spending time with billionaires, leadership gurus internationally. Across a 20-year span, he's built, sold, and been advisor to a number of businesses across the world. His family has direct ties to British intelligence, MI6. And through his short stay in the military as a junior officer, has developed a unique contact base of physical and metaphysical contacts, leading him to change course in late 2018, founding AboveDuality.com, you know, whose core mission is to empower, encourage, and equip humanity in a physical earth for a non-physical future. Anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring David on the show. Are you with us?
I am. Pleasure to be here, James. How are you doing?
Oh, doing great. It's funny, I was just listening to one of your shows before, and I go, I got to get this guy on the show. And Robert hooked us up. But it seems like we're on the same page. You might have some more insights, but I'd love to. Our stories are so similar because, you know, about 30, I don't even want to mention it, but 39 years ago, actually. I had a near-death experience and was doing commercial real estate and involved in all that. And I had to walk away. I couldn't do it anymore because people would say one thing, think something else, and feel something else. And I was blown wide open. And it was really, I couldn't be around them anymore. And so I had to just walk, you know, I had to get out of there. And I went and lived in the Redwoods for a while. But your story sounds similar, how you're involved in that whole business world, and now you're kind of working on transforming it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, it's difficult to know where to start with your story, and you can probably resonate. There's so much that's happened, and there's so much that's going on, as you mentioned. But yeah, I mean, I only really came to this acceptance about 10 years ago that I've really got quite a strong military family. Yeah. And I've listened to so many whistleblowers over the years. I'm like, actually, I've got a very strong military family. So my great-granddad was actually a high-ranking general in the Afghan army on my dad's side. My mom's side, my granddad was at Dunkirk in World War II. Separate point, but I'm trying to find out how much Churchill was read into the secret space program right now. It's actually very difficult to find that out. Anyway, because he was brought in very, very quickly. My father is in a tough outfit, the 8th Battalion British Paratroopers, and active service all across the world, Cyprus and Jordan. He's got sort of shrapnel marks in his back and things like that. And unfortunately, he's got sort of heavy dementia now, so I can't pull information out of him. I'm sure he's passed some of his NDAs, but he went into British Intelligence, MI6. And again... he really only came out with that about 10 years ago when I was moving to Canada from England. And he just sort of realized that his only son was going to be away from him and started, you know, he's a stiff, upper-lipped British fellow, man. And he raised the family that way with my two sisters as well. I, of course, revolted against that. And he just sort of, we were talking one day and I'd already come through the Territorial Army, which was sort of the U.S., version of the Marines, I think. And long after that, and I've already made my own connections and also some people in intelligence. And he just sort of came out one day in a coffee shop and said, oh yeah, I was in MI6. And I just, I had no idea, like it completely out of the blue. And that was sort of the beginning of, sort of the, you know, what fathers are like, the guards sort of came down. And we started to connect. Unfortunately, he sort of fell into a little bit of mental illness now with what he's going through. So it's difficult to get some good stuff out of him. But anyway, and it was through and all this time, you know, I started my first business when I was in my 20s, sort of as a failed athlete. And I wasn't mentally equipped to deal with that failure at the time, and came back after a tour of playing cricket. You fellows in the States that already know cricket, but like baseball, but very British. Oh, yeah.
Like golf and baseball. And combined.
That's it. That's pretty much it. That's a 5-episode show. Anyway, but I wasn't equipped for that, and then came back and was going backwards financially, and a friend threw me a bone, and I got into recruitment. And it was my sort of the first beginnings of my recruitment days were like the Wolf of Wall Street. Like I was right in the lots of money, young guys, other stuff. And unfortunately I didn't get into the other stuff, but I was very attracted by the money, as this, you know, young guys are, and made this company a lot of money. And then went up to sort of start on my own, because I always knew I wanted to do my own thing. I'm not a work for somebody else kind of guy. And not that it's bad if you choose to do that, by the way, but that was just never my calling. So by the time I was 30, I was already into my second business, having sold that. And it was through some sort of crisis points in my life, deaths of great best friends, that I started to get recall of who I am and why I'm here, very faintly. And kind of like you said, it started to sort of manifest in the way of vibrational mismatches. Like I started to just, man, this money thing is like, I've got some, it's fun, but it's just not connecting with me. And it was at that point that the business I was running kind of started, because it, you know, wasn't about the money anymore, started to crash. And I, again, sort of went through some tough lessons, and financially sort of started all over again in 2012, right after I moved to Canada, and let a lot of people down. And they made that very vocal in some major arenas. And it was a very, very beautiful time, very tough time, beautiful time. And it was at that point where I really wanted to sort of get money out of the way. I wasn't sort of fully activated metaphysically at this point. So I wasn't going into the where I am now, which is I'm looking at, you know, working with people to create an elder council with Earth, with not having money as a primary exchange. That's sort of where I'm at now. But back then it was going that way. It was sort of starting to do that. I made a plan to go to Hollywood and make movies in Hollywood. That was the biggest yield and what I love the most, that combination, that pairing. And thank God, because I didn't really know about Hollywood at that point. Two couples, in fact, sort of convinced me to stay and build out a different e-commerce company, which is just finished now. And I sort of dodged a little bit of a bullet there, because I wanted to go in mainstream. I'd written feature films and pilots of a TV show on my life, and some true accounts of some of my dad's stuff. Anyhow, and sort of fast forward a little bit, 2017, my great friend and first wife passed away, which was again a beautiful time, but very challenging. She spent sort of a year very, very sick. About a year, probably more than that, actually, probably a couple of years. And I got to see firsthand, really for the first time, the Western, and I knew this already, but the Western medical system and how it was. You know, I was spent 7-8 hours a day in hospital for about 6-7 months with her before she passed. And she's a beautiful spirit, and we've had some wonderful interactions since continuing on. But it was that I think was a big awakening stepping stone to where I'm at now, because I started to remember that this infrastructure, this 3D structure, is really the documentary that is the Matrix, right? As we all know. And it's of course, I wasn't that philosophical at that time, but it's these things that we look back on, as Steve Jobs says, that, you know, make sense looking back. And so Jen made a transition, and challenging but a beautiful time. And that was the propeller, I think, to me starting to question what I'm doing. Like, I'm running two companies and, you know, making money, et cetera, and we're building towards this all 3D materialistic type goal still. And like you said, it started to just it wasn't resonating, it wasn't connecting. And I came into this sort of, not a dark night of the soul, but a sort of a man in the mirror moment, but it was so smooth. It was so, nope, I'm going to let both these companies go and I'm going to do what I need to do to get this message out to people and prepare them for what's coming. Even though at that point, 2018, we weren't sort of getting the sealed indictments and things like that were coming into the fray and Q was really picking up traction. Yeah. But it wasn't sort of where it's at now, where it's like, holy crap, like it's the locomotive has left the station and we're going, it's coming. You know, secret space program disclosure is right behind what we're going through now in different waves. But anyway, so long story short, and I share that because I know a lot of corporate friends and a lot of some very high net worth individuals who are very metaphysical and they're scared about losing their circle, losing their network and talking about this stuff. And I know they want to. So that's the only reason that I share that, James, is because I want to give permission for someone else to say, you know what, that's kind of like me. I'm going to do that. So anyway, just some background on me.
I'm curious about your dad and who knows, your grandfather might have known some things, but how much, I know everything's compartmentalized, but how much could they share with you concerning what's really happening, you know, with UFOs, the secret space fleet, things of that nature?
Well, he never, I don't think he was ever in black projects and ever in compartmentalized programs and USAPs. I don't think the memory I have that it was woken up when my father told me this was that there would be these, and they were Russians, there would be these big burly men that would be at our house often growing up. And of course, you know, you trust your parents, they're guardians, you never sort of question it. And my dad was, and I remember one guy in particular, I won't mention his name, but my dad was teaching us how to play Texas Hold'em poker, which I've since loved and continue to have fun with that over the years. But there was this very well-built fellow. You can tell when people can take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Who would every couple of weeks be with us in the family. And he'd sit down and play poker with us. And he'd beat the pants off us always. And that I had that memory, which links back to other stuff, which sort of unlocks other stuff. But I think he was more the surface level stuff, the James Bond type stuff, which is very low level intelligence, as you know, in the real work goes on in the psionic stuff. What really got me into the Black Project stuff was actually a connection I'd made in the Territorial Army. And we had reached back out after about 5 years of not communicating after I'd left the TA and didn't go back in. And very blasé one day, we're having a conversation about science fiction. And he said, oh, you should research the secret space program. And I was like, well, yeah, I love science fiction. I love that world. Great. Get me onto a couple of resources. And they turned out to be sort of dead end and not come to much. But then I got onto Kerry Cassidy's work in Project Camelot. Right. And that was when David Wilcock had just recorded with her, I think it's a 2009, 2010 time. And that was a huge sort of, wow, there are people talking about dream states and, you know, deciphering the dreams and the metaphysical. And I'm not alone with that. And that sort of got me into more interesting dialogue with myself. So I never got that from my dad or my granddad. And my granddad never, ever spoke about his time in the services. I was, decently close to him, but you wouldn't get a peep out of him. It's funny because we were clearing out the old family home after he passed, and I found this. I was in the loft or the attic, as we would call it, and I found this this red binder. I was like, oh, okay, it's kind of like in the Goonies when they're up in the loft and they're sort of going through stuff and blowing, you know, cobwebs or stuff. Anyway, and I opened this red binder, and it was his war diary from World War II, probably 200 pages of his time in the trenches, and it got lost. Because I really wanted to make a movie out of it, but it got lost. But that was the closest I got to him telling me about what he was doing there.
Yeah, it's funny, interesting what's been going on here. It's kind of hilarious, basically, because what's happening here at ISETI is it's still happening. It's not a story that's 60 years old. You know, it's not a manuscript. It's not, you know. It's happening right now, and it's still happening. I mean, we just filmed some amazing ships just two nights ago out there. And I find it just incredulous that people are still coming after us saying, you know, you're lying. It's all fake. You know, those are meteors. Those are space stations. You know, these things are landing on the mountain, morphing into three or four ships, taking off, going straight up into space, flying half treetop level, things like that. And there's no running lights, no strobes on them or anything. And we have the, you know, we have heavens above. We check and see if there are any known satellites and we do our research. And,
yeah.
And we have, you know, we have the night vision goggles, two or three pairs of those, and as well as other infrared gear. But you know, it's amazing. We've had people come up here with the most incredible gear, like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gear, like thermal cameras, you know, night vision, all these things, you know, top line stuff. And they walk away with more questions. They go, this doesn't fit any parameters. It's cold light. It's intelligent. We don't know what it is. You know, they just have more and more questions. But it's so funny, but the UFO community is still trying to prove the UFOs are real. And we've gone so far behind that. It's such a controlled narrative. And we go, we know that not only are they real, we know who's on them, what their cultures are, you know, the technology they're using and things of that nature, what they're capable of. But that information is so, they don't want it. They don't want any of that other information out. They want to keep the narrative controlled. They want to keep it in the past and far, far away. You know, Billy Bob was feeding his pigs or some cop was driving down the road and saw light, you know, and that's where they want to keep everything. And the masses don't get it. They don't understand. They think that's where everything's at, but there's so much more going on, and it's all about empowering the individual to do their own research. You know, go have your own sighting. You know, have your own experience.
Right. And you know, I'm not averaging it out or tracked it to say with accuracy. I probably have 3 to 6 sightings a week here up in near Banff, near the mountains. Uh-huh. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's sort of quite open minded actually. And I was talking to you before the show. I just try and connect with people all the time, wherever I'm going, because I'm on a mission right now to get this consciousness wave as far as we can forward to assist in this ascension, which is inevitable, but to make it as less painful as possible, hopefully. Is it going to happen that way? We'll have to see. But anyway, I was just saying, look, you know, I have sightings at night. I have daytime sightings. And he was saying, well, I don't really believe that. I've never seen anything before. I said, well, how often do you look at the sky?
Yeah.
I said, never.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people look at their feet. I mean, it's natural. When you're walking around, you're looking at your feet.
Yeah.
You know, how many people, and you can tell if people are star seeds, they're always looking up. They're looking at the sky and they're tuning into their feelings, you know, and they're sensing energies. And those are the ones that are having the experiences. But most of the masses don't even look at their feet, and they don't go out and look at the stars. And if they do see something, they just automatically dismiss it as a satellite or whatever, unless it does something really weird.
Yeah. I don't get me started on conversations I've had at observatories with.
Yeah.
And again, as we talked about before, people are just programmed. They're not stupid. They're just programmed. So have love for them as much as you can. But there's a wonderful CIA operative, not Ship, not Kevin Ship, but somebody else. And I can't remember the name of them. And they were talking about the Intel ops they used to run in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And he was saying that, you know, we'd have these parabolic mics and we'd have old tech in the sort of the surface level of surveillance. And we'd be 100 feet above these marks sometimes, you know, the targets that we were surveilling sometimes. And literally, if that person looked up, they would have seen us. No one ever looks up. No one ever looks up. It's so true. Almost so that when you do it, you stand out. You look weird in the crowd, don't you?
Are they like in whisper mode or something? Or are they like helicopters on the whisper mode program or something?
I don't know. I'll have to dig up that thing on YouTube. It's an interview with an Alphabet Agency fellow. But it stood up because it's so true. But I spend, now that I sort of got my life in a place where I can have more freedom, for this mission, for sure, although now I've got less time than ever with the stuff that's going on. It's beautiful, and it's kind of what Rob was saying at the beginning there. But where was I going with that? That's completely gone from my mind.
Anyway, one thing I wanted to get into is consciousness. And, you know, and I heard on your show, you're talking to people about that, about Christ consciousness, and people don't even understand what that is, most people. And I tell people, you know, contact comes with enlightenment. When you expand in consciousness, you're going to take in more territory, more dimensions, more life, you know, more beings, you know, and some beings are pure energy. Some are, you know, have magnetized light bodies and light ships or energy ships. It's such a vast multiverse out there that most people don't even know that it's all around them at all times. It's happening all around them, but they miss that. And I think it's so important to factor in consciousness, because the people that are rising in consciousness and doing their work, you know, doing their spiritual practices, and that have an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, those are the people that are having contact.
Yeah, absolutely, because everything is frequency. Frequency never gets it wrong. And these higher dimensional beings, well, like we talk and we use language and the five senses to communicate, as you know, they use the telepathic and the frequency and the metaphysical senses. And of course, you know, they can zoom in on that like it's non-local, it's instant.
Yeah.
It's not like you pick up a cell phone and if you want to call the moon, the satellite, the moon, which will take, you know, with our current system, whatever it is, you have 4 or 5 years to get there in a signal. Consciousness is instant. It's instant.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm on a big mission right now. I'm glad you brought this up, because I'm not getting frustrated, but I think I want to reiterate the importance of people who are wanting to do this, but certainly people who are awake, to get away from the hamster wheel of what's going on. Now, is it important to address, to see, understand, address, and move out? Yes, it is, because, as you know, part of the hidden agenda, do it silently and give our informed consent that way in lots of different mediums. So it's important to do that. But what I see a lot of people doing is staying there. And they're going round and round on the hamster wheel and going, guys, let's just play this out. Let's just say that if the Alliance and the White Hats do all the great stuff and it works out in a perfect timeline and we get through to Space Force, ET disclosure and all this stuff, and government is still in power, we've lost. We've lost a trick. And so when it comes to Christ consciousness, and the really important point to make here, which is to get out of this hamster wheel, get back onto the teachings of the masters of the Far East, you know, the Dwarkuls, the Muhammads, the Jeshua, the Christ, I could name 100 as you could, but to get into their teaching and to bring their teaching, which is eons old, into your daily routine and start to work towards that Christ consciousness, so we can build a civilization away from the need for government. And, you know, I got a ping the other day. It's been a series of pings, actually, to build an elder council. And this is sort of what I'm doing with NEPI, with the New Eden Project Initiative. And I, of course, you know, the human stuff is, well, you know, why me? I haven't earned that ride. And, you know, do I deserve to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like I should be on that kind of thing. You know, the classic stuff. And I think that's sort of where I'm looking. I'm looking at 5-10 years. What do I want? You know, what do I personally want to see happen in the world? And it's to get away from this primary exchange material system. As I'm reading Bed Spaulding's books right now, The Teachings of the Masters of the Far East.
Yeah.
Wonderful compendium. Really wonderful. And they say that in some of these talks with the masters, is that in some kind, sometimes they're 500 years old in human form. Just incredible stuff. You know, Jeshua walked with these wonderful masters, is that if you build every time a civilization has been built with materialism at its core, it moves to where we're at now. You go through attachment, you go through exchange systems. But when Taoism, spiritualism, and, you know, Christ consciousness is at the service to others mantra, is at the core of a civilization before it begins to build into an infrastructure, then you have a chance to build really a highly advanced civilization. That doesn't mean you can't have all the wonderful technology, but it means you're going to be able to use that at a whole other level. And I see.
Well, what I've seen is that we're kind of reliving the Atlantis Lemurian scenario, because The Lemurians were, they saw the creator in all creation. That it was the unseen God. It was everything, everyone, every, it was in everything. And then, and they operated under more universal law. And then they had the Atlanteans who really worshiped science and the intellect and power. Not all of them, you know, some, but that was the main focus. And they started abusing that technology to control and dominate and manipulate and that's what, that was their downfall. And we're actually doing the exact same thing right now with you know, you've got the deep state Atlantean throwbacks, you know, that are trying to control and dominate everybody and use, you know, their chips and their vaccines and all these things that they're doing to dumb down the masses and control them and whatever. I mean, that's a whole show in itself. And then you got the other people that are saying, hey, look, we want to operate under universal law, you know, like universal peace, brother, sister, love, and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. That's where we're coming from. And they're becoming really vocal right now saying, you blew it. You guys went off track. You know, you did this before. Let's not do it again. And I think that side is rising up right now. It is going to be victorious in the end. Because it is aligned with universal law, and it is aligned with the forces that are coming in as we speak, you know, the alignments and the moving into the highly energized place and space that we're moving into, the other dimensions pressing their consciousness and energy in, which operate under universal law. That is such an immense force that's coming in right now. I think this other game is just going to implode on itself.
I totally agree. You know, I was speaking to my mum about this. She's a wonderful spiritual teacher of mine. And we've had past lives in Atlantia, in Atlantis and Lemuria for sure. And that sort of is becoming more and more evident. The sort of, she was playing the teacher role for many years. And now I seem to sort of, and not in an egotistical way, but I've sort of taken that over. And it's just sort of, anyway, it's, so I always thought that she was this wonderful, powerful figure and here to teach me spiritual things. And she has, and she does. Mm-hmm. But now we've sort of changed hats. It's very odd. Anyway, she was talking the other day about she's moving from, and I think a lot of people are experiencing this, so I want to touch on it, is that things are feeling surreal for a lot of people. A lot of people tell me that. It's like they're almost in a waking dream in their everyday life. And notwithstanding what's going on with the, you know, with the scandemic. And I think that it's really, the beautiful thing is of course we're shifting density, our DNA is changing, we know that. But one of the big things for the ego is when, you know, when you move towards, you know, this beautiful quote from Jeff Dunphy, who I'm doing a master course with. He's doing some great stuff with retoolingtheworld.com, just a fantastic, fantastic human being. I can't wait to do more with him. But that he came out with a quote, and I steal all his quotes, by the way, so he's going to watch this and go, hey, that's my quote. Just passing on your brilliance, my friend. And it was, your soul has got a conquest and a purpose that your ego is not going to agree with. Beautiful. But the key is to love the ego into submission. It's not to forget about it or cast it away, as you know. But as we're shifting densities here, is what a lot of people are experiencing is that insecure and that they can't feel balance. And of course, what that is the everyday materialistic life of making money, routines, achievement, is the attachment that they have in this 3D matrix that brings them security. And we've all been programmed for that. So what's happening now as you shift to higher densities, five and beyond, is that it doesn't need that. You know, that purity of being doesn't need achievement, doesn't need attachment to feel pure and to be pure. And so we're sort of shifting into that realm of, I kind of feel off balance. Like I can't get that security and get centered. And so it's, I wanted to mention that because I think a lot of people are experiencing that, which is very, very normal. Anyway.
Well, I think this scandemic thing that's going on too is, I think that's forcing everybody. It's doing so many things. Basically, it's taking their nose away from the grindstone, you know, and that work, and that program that they're doing. It's taking that away. And so they're becoming more creative. They're doing more downtime, more tech. But it's also forcing them to look at their relationships, and they can't sweep everything under the rug like they used to. And so hopefully there's some communication there, you know, it'll be chaos, you know, with it's kind of comes with a, with a, when you see the chaos, it's just the stuff rising to the surface that's been swept under the rug forever. And I think it's, in a way, it's a good thing, because it's causing people to slow down and reevaluate their life and where they're going and what's important. And they're also having time to do their own research and, you know, what they haven't been told, you know, and what, you know, all the, and they're seeing the deception firsthand. I mean, if nothing's adding up, and they're seeing it in real time in their lives, they're seeing it on the news, they're seeing everything, they go, none of this is adding up. And so they're being almost pushed into enlightenment in a way by this process.
Yeah, the biggest red pill, James, is waking up to the knowing of our brilliance. That's the biggest red pill. Yeah. And that's coming. And I think that's in combination with the 3D red pill of what's going on. And so you got to, you know, you got to, and I am speaking to myself when I say this stuff as well. And everything I talk about, I'm guilty of, which is why I can speak about it. But, and this is sort of the things that I've done wrong in the companies that I've been around is to talk about, you know, this stuff in this way more. Everything I talk about and teach is I've done this wrong 1,000 times, like 10,000 times, embarrassingly. So I won't go into it. Is to have grace with these people, to see as much as you can, to see them through God's eyes and to see them through the place of presence, not ego, which is very difficult because notwithstanding the fact you just want them to get it. And you know that there's a beautiful sunrise on the end of that awakening and knowing. So you just, sometimes you persist, you know, when a golden eagle comes down and grabs a fish, it locks talons and sometimes they drown because they can't let go. I've kind of been like that recently. I just want to have people that I love and appreciate. Just get it. But to sit back and go, you know what, maybe they've just contracted to not know this stuff for another 10 years or whatever it is. And maybe, you know, so we've got to consistently look at things as light bearers. And I like the term light bearers because we're lighting, trying to light the torches for others. And we all carry them. The candle is a disciple of the sun. It's a lower octave of the sun, right? I like that. And that's like us. We have these great candles of the greater divine, you know, God source consciousness that we're all connected to and part of an extension of. And we got to go around like that more. And I need to do that more because it's too easy to fall back into the ego and then just, you know, just give someone a statement before you've added value to them. And that's sort of contributing to the diversity of the energies right now.
Yeah. I found out with me, it was like when I first had my big awakening, and I won't even say I'm awake because there's so much more to know out there. It's just, I just awaken to one level and there's another level, and it just gets more expanded. But the first major awakening, I was like, you know, they say truth blows through you like a river. You know, you just want to tell everybody, you want to share with everybody. And like you're saying, a lot of people aren't ready yet, you know. And then, you know, I was meditating once and Babaji came to me and he said, you know, stop watering seedlings with a fire hose. You know, and I started thinking about that, and I said, and I was looking at another way where I could really plant some seeds and not even wait around for a reaction, you know, get totally out of any need for acceptance and approval from anybody else, and walk away, and you crack the door, and as soon as you crack the door, their curiosity is going to take them through that door, and they're going to hear it, and the universe is going to bring it to them again and again and again until they go, wait a second, there's something to this. You know, this keeps appearing in my life. I might need to. I've been finding out that's a lot more beneficial, but I start laughing. I watch people blank out. I watch, they get that blank stare on their face. And I know that's as far as I'm going to go. And that's it. And you can feel they're shut down and they're so socially programmed. They just can't handle it anymore. And they have such a tie to their belief system and their position in life and things like that. They're so attached to that. And I told them, I said, you should really try being nobody. And they go, what do you mean? I said, you know, out of the nothing comes everything. And that's the real power. And when you're nobody, there's nobody that needs defending. There's nobody to argue with. There's just really work on being nobody. And I love that position because you can just sit there and you can allow them to be whoever they want to be and you can have fun with it. You can push their buttons and play with it and they're projecting this thing on you. Go, okay, I'll do that. You know, I'll become that projection, but I won't have any attachment to it. And,
you know, know I, I experienced cognitive dissonance a long time ago. When this e-commerce company had sort of a network marketing hub to it, and I got around some very, very smart people in how to really build this. It's not like traditional network marketing, but it had a sort of that infrastructure. And so part of our routine was to go out and talk to people and add value to people and serve people, which was a whole new methodology to me, because I was always used to, especially in my 20s, trying to get people to do what I wanted them to do to get money for me. And I'm very guilty of that for many, many years. And I learned some lessons and a half. Anyway, and so we would go out and then, you know, connect with people. And part of the process of connecting with them is to really add value to them first, to get in a process of serving them before you give them anything, right? The classic sort of being in service to others mentality, yeah, which was a challenge for me to learn. But we would go and I'd get into conversations, people who were just sort of in the E quadrant and the employment quadrant. Nothing wrong with that quadrant at all. If that's where your goals are, beautiful. But I'd speak to people and I'd sort of, you know, ask questions and try and evoke some information and get to know them. And they would always talk about their dreams and their goals. And, you know, if they won the lottery, they'd leave their job tomorrow and they'd go and fulfill their mission. And then I'd, you know, ultimately we'd have further conversations. We'd go for coffee. And if they wanted to learn about our business model, we would go through the simple foundations of financial literacy, right? The Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, ESBI, simple. It's not taught in schools for a reason. But simple financial literacy. And the cognitive dissonance there was unbelievable. Like, people couldn't understand that if you want to have control of time and money, you've got to get out of the employment and the small business quadrant. Otherwise, you won't have either, if that's your goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've taken a lot of skills to what I'm doing now from that. But it's this cognitive dissonance isn't just related to the topics that we're going through now. It's been programmed for so many years. It's a physical and metaphysical structure that people have created, and breaking through it is often it's a challenge.
I always tell people that, you know, the real pandemic right now is TDS, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, and cognitive dissonance, both, you know. And I, you know, like, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat or anything, basically. I see the truth, you know. I research and I look at who's doing what and look at and I totally discount what lamestream media is saying, because, you know, that's all social engineering. But I look behind the scenes and I have connections, you know, on some pretty high levels that inform me what's really unfolding, what's happening. And, you know, even some of those, you got to say, well, that's his story, you know, or her story, whatever. And you always keep discernment and all that. But it's amazing. I always tell people, and I try to tell them, look, you're coming from a victim role. You know, you're coming from such a disempowered role where you're blaming this guy for everything. And how does that help you to go forward? You know, it validates your fears and it validates your victim role and these other programs that you're running and your dependencies on how you didn't get what you felt you were entitled to or whatever else, you know, whatever programs you're running. And they're all being projected on this one. What if you took all your power back and just release this and get on with your own life? You know, what would happen? Mm. And they just go, and they think about it for a second, and they go, well, he did, you know, then they go back and they go, no. I said, wait a second, you know, I like it, dream, believe, love, you know, and believe there's a lie. And I always tell people the word believe, there's a lie. I always know that there's a lie in believe. Whatever you believe is created by who gave you that belief system? What information created that belief system? Where do you get your information? Are they, you know, have they lied in the past? You know, have they been totally honest and upfront? Do they give a rat's ass about who you are and your well-being? You know, no, most of them don't. And so, you know, it's all about social engineering. So the only way you can get away from this is just to get out in nature, meditate, establish your own BS meter, which I call your inner sensitivity training. And you can feel when something isn't right or isn't true for you. Doesn't matter what they're saying, you go, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening on the whole right now. The whole planet is being elevated to the level where they're seeing through this and they go, you know, this just doesn't feel right. And every institution, doesn't matter, political, business, religious, all the institutions now are people are in there looking around going, wait a second, this just doesn't feel right anymore.
It's someone, yeah, I agree. Someone, I got a phone call. I've had phone calls all day, but I had a phone call this morning and someone said, you know, how you doing? I said, great. The sun's shining in Calgary and Bill Gates is getting trolled on all the social media. It's a good day. So people aren't buying it. It's a beautiful thing. We had Carrie Cassidy on the show a couple of weeks back or a month back. And she, not in this show, but she reminded me of this again, is that one of the big problems that people are running into when it comes to, you know, relying on a source for information, or then they attack David Wilcock or Corey Good, and that was wrong, yeah, and that didn't happen that time. I'm just like, guys, it's so irrelevant, because that's just a small part of your conceptualizing and understanding process. The number one is where you go within, and the spiritual journey of developing knowing, right? Understanding and developing knowing. And the spiritual stuff has to happen with the David Wilcox and the Corey Goods, as wonderful as they are, and many, many others. That has to come in and either resonate or not with the spiritual knowing. So if a prediction doesn't come true, it doesn't matter, because you've already found out what's your knowing. And then, you know, so people sort of go around. And that's why the Christ consciousness thing, which is really the journey, you know, journey into God, is so important right now. And this is it ties into the research and the understanding of stuff, because when we lead from that knowing inside and the process of knowing, then it doesn't really matter what anybody else says. And you become so empowered. Like, you just become, and you've got to kind of check yourself, especially if you're a young guy like me, and get your ego down and live in the good space and in presence. But you just become so powerful. You're like, I can, with time and the right frequency and vibration, I can figure out and find out anything I want to. And this is where we're going.
True, yeah. I always tell people, when, you know, people, I've had one guy get down on the ground and do his thing, and I actually kicked him. I said, get up, don't ever do that again. You're giving your power away, you know, but I always focus on empowering the individual, you know, and keep your free thinking mind and discernment going and things like that. And I think what's so important with any speaker right now is we need to stop the worshiping, you know, you know, I tell people, I said, I tell you, I'm on a journey. I'm not infallible. I'm doing the best I can. If new knowledge comes in that has more weight than what I know now, I'm open to it. My truth is flexible. And I said, all I can tell you is that I'm going to be doing the best I can, you know, to help you, assist you in making your own personal connection with Source, basically. And that's my main goal. But it's really interesting is that to see so many people want to give their power away, and it's like a battery, they're leaking, you know, their energy's going out, and all that information is within. And, you know, a lot of them, the people like, you know, the storytellers and the other people that are up there, they're telling these stories and they're triggering people. They're triggering people to remember their past, you know, their past lives, which were on these other planets and in other dimensions and things like that. And they're out there trying to trigger people to open up and remember. But at the same time, it's sad, because most of humanity want to worship them. They want to put them up on pedestals. And, you know, the people I hang out with are authentic, you know, and I always tell people, your power comes from being authentic, because you have your own unique purpose for being here. And nobody else can do that. Nobody else can be you. And your power comes from being authentic and by going into the heart, which is your soul, sits right next to the heart, and that's connected to the Source. And your mind is going to take you everywhere and jump you here and say, I believe, and I did, I, you know. But really, the real power, there's more neurons in your heart than there are in your brain. There's more electrical activity there too as well, because your soul sits right there. It's the powerhouse, you know. And I think that's why they're always saying, you've got to get back into the heart and use discernment and develop your own inner sensitivity to get through these times. Because if you don't have it, you're going to be led all over the place. You know,
I agree. And it's, beautiful. Well said. I was listening to Nicole Frolick, who we had on the show again a couple of weeks ago. And she said something beautiful in that, that so many people right now are so you know, frustrated that they're being controlled and contained in the houses. A valid thing, by the way. It's just yeah. you know, draconian. Well, it is draconian from the Dracos. But is that to not forget how much work you're doing in the fourth right now, in the astral, and you know, mid and upper fourth. And I don't know what I've been doing, but I've been waking up, and it's not been attacks. It's been me doing stuff. I've been waking up, and I'm, you know, a former athlete. I know my body well. I train a lot. I pay attention to this stuff. I'm connected. But I wake up feeling like I've pulled a freaking steam train across the Arctic. I'm like, what's going on? I can't get out of bed. It's really odd.
Exactly. Yeah, we're doing so much work in the 4G that, you know, I do too. I wake up and then every morning and before I go to bed, I do clearance. I stay up past 12 to make sure, you know, the witching hour that they aren't doing the little black magic and crap and clear all the energy, you know, make sure I'm in a good space. And then I ask the guides and the masters, you know, teach me what I need to know, regenerate my body, you know, heal me, you know, please, you know, I ask for that before I go to bed. And sometimes I have full memory. I'm in there battling. I'm in there rescuing people. I'm pulling people out of places. I'm dealing with these cult type situations and you know, like they're pretty nasty. I mean, they're, you know, it's really bizarre. And you know, I wake up and I'm just exhausted. I go, man, I don't know what I did last night. I have snippets of it. You know, I remember, you know, bits and pieces of it, but a lot of work being done in the lower astral level right now, cleaning that up and pulling people out of there so they can move on.
I mean, that was heavily hijacked, wasn't it? For this seeding of humanity, I think probably the whole thing, it's been heavily hijacked.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on. People ask me about that, and I said, well, you got to go through hell to get to heaven. And what are you talking about? And they say, well, the lower astral level has all that things that go bump in the night, astral beings, demonic type energies, reptilians, grays, serpent beings, all these things are on those other levels, and they're trying to keep you down and keep you from getting through to the higher levels. And in India, they say, you know, the closer you are to Nirvana, the more the demons rear their ugly heads. And so I tell people, if you're getting attacked and you're getting hit and things like that, it's not really a bad thing. It means you're a threat. You're actually doing something right. And they don't want you to get into these higher dimensions, and they're afraid of you. They're actually afraid of you. But we teach techniques on keeping your energy clear, self-authority, and how to heal these unseen negative influences so people can, you know, maintain that energy. But I think that's so important right now is learn how to heal unseen negative guys. Talking about this right now, my ears are ringing and something just came in big. But it's so important right now for people to learn to heal unseen negative influences and keep their space clear before anything else. It's so important right now because there is a multidimensional war going on, and a lot of your thoughts and your illnesses and your sicknesses aren't even yours. You know, they're you're attuning to them in ignorance, not knowing they're there, you know, not knowing how these influences work. So, you know, and even in the business world, if I had to have a business meeting, I'd clear everybody in the room. And I wouldn't try to manipulate them. I would just clear the room. So everything would go on the highest and best good of everybody concerned. You know, if I'm having a meeting, you know, so it's really important to do that.
I totally agree. That's beautiful. So do you think, I know we're coming up on the hour quite quickly here, but do you think that I personally feel with this mission that I've been given, and we can maybe talk about it at a later date, it's a long one, but it is involving in some way helping build some form of an elder council. You know, a lot of these ET groups have that. I don't know what it means yet. I don't even really know what it is. It's just sort of developing in me, and it's coming a little bit more every day as I suppose I become ready for it, I guess. But I got into this mindset that I thought we were missing a trick, and I thought we were missing as the Alliance do their thing and the White Hats, and it's beautiful. We give honor and we give energy to what they do, and we surround them with light and we're grateful for it. But we're not waiting for them to come, you know, to lead us out of this. We are creating Christ consciousness, Christed beings in ourselves. Yeah. So we get to a point where even if government, we don't know what Trump's plan is. We don't truly know how controlled Trump is. I personally think he's, you know, he's one of the good guys and he's on a great team, obviously, and he has got some free reign, but we don't truly know that. And I find myself getting caught in the trust the plan, but build yours.
Yeah, right? I agree. Praise Allah, tie your camel. you know, take care of yourself. Yeah, there's so many there's so much going on out there, and it really comes back to individual personal responsibility and empowering the individual, basically. And, yeah, and I've always said, I think it's so important. I've always said we should have a council of grandmothers hooked up to a galactic council. And that would be the perfect, you know, because grandmothers, you know, they're wise. They don't send their kids to war. They love nature. They love gardens. They love kids. You know, it's like, you know, that would be the, you know, solution, you know, but some men are that way too. You know, I don't want to exclude them, but I think ultimately a council of grandmothers hooked up to some kind of a galactic federation or something like that would be the way to go.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What was I going to say? So have you heard anything about, we'll probably get sort of censored for this, but although they're very high density beings, the Dracos and the Reptilians, although they're very low energy, they're high density beings, higher density. Do you think that the planet is going to, it is, but do you think the shift in densities from Gaia right now is going to force them to have to leave because they physically can't be here? Or do you think that we're primarily going to have to go in underground, which is happening right now, actually, and flush them out and get them off?
I think it's all the above, but eventually, see, the Earth is ascending, and they're not frequency specific to where the Earth is ascending to, so they can't stay. So the tyrants and that kind of conscious and energy can't maintain itself here. And that's what's in the big picture, that's what's happening. We're moving through that totally energized place in space, you know, that's pushing this to happen. I know the white hats are doing their thing on one level. The Palladians are extremely involved in this and cleaning up the pedophile stuff. And Mary, you know, Mother Mary and the divine feminine energies, they are really pushing hard to put an end to what's happening to the children here and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's big. And all the other masters. And then you've got the Orion Council of Light. You've got the Sirians, the Andromedans, the Arcturians. They're all that energy is pushing in. And they're the greater family of man, and they're coming in, and you know, resistance is futile. You know, it's you know, there's no way of stopping this. It's huge, and we have a choice. We can either hang on, you know, like a monkey trap with your hand stuck in the coconut, or you can let go and flow with this. And what I love about it is that when I have my own near death experience, I experience a source firsthand, and it doesn't have an ego. It can't judge. There's no judgment there. And we judge ourselves and we condemn ourselves. And our own guilt creates the reactions to our actions and things like that. So at any moment, we can just totally, sincerely have a soul-felt moment, a heartfelt moment, and forgive ourselves and change and shift our energies towards the awakened healing process. And there's a lot of karma that will be released because of that if we are sincere. You can't just do lip service to it. But if you're deeply sincere and you ask for forgiveness, and it's already there, it's the forgiveness all you need, because you were never judged. The source doesn't have an ego, you know.
But. Yeah, absolutely. This is one of the things that the secret kind of it didn't. It's got very interesting roots, and I love it. It didn't quite get into the conversation enough. The power of manifestation, true manifestation, lies in neutrality, and kind of what you're talking about, that these higher beings and the higher consciousness and God source. It's almost strange because it doesn't have that bias of ego to judge. It's beautiful, but it's kind of, when you experience it, even from ET beings like I have, you feel so humbled. You feel so small. I guess you do feel small, but you feel really humbled because it's just such a powerful place.
Yeah. Basically they just say, okay, you know, gain the wisdom from the experience, let it settle in the soul, move on and create what you do want. You know, now you know what you don't want. And so now you can move forward and create what you do want. And that's where they look at, they don't judge, you know, but if you willfully continue to harm people on the earth and things like that, you know, your light review, you're going to be so embarrassed. You are going to feel like a very small person when you walk in for your light review, and you can't get away from that. You know, there's nobody, a lot of these Illuminati guys, the elite, they think they're gods. They think they're not subject to any of that. Well, news for them, they are. And they will have their light reviews, and they will have to stand before some magnificent beings and do their life review.
Well, you know, maybe their soul has some planets have chosen the fall path, which is they're going to go through multiple lifetimes and recycle. and go all the way back to the little whizzings of protons and electrons, and then more than that, but then sort of come back into solid form again. Maybe they've chosen that. You know?
I think there's I know there's at least eight Earths. There's multiple Earths going on right now. And I've stepped forward back in between them, but some of the practices we do in Uganda, you actually disappear when you're doing these practices. You can see right through people. And so there's multiple Earths going on. And I think we're going to hit that tipping point as the energy keeps rising and keep dropping our wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions, past experience and all the social programming and all that starts going away. We're going to hit that point. It's just going to flip and we're going to be in a whole different world. And that other stuff is going to go out. And I think a lot of it's just going to, it'll probably end up somewhere in the astral. There's probably like an astral planet on a lower level that they can finish their work, you know, finish their stuff on.
Yeah. I can't see how it's not going to happen in waves like right now, as much as, you know, the good work that we're doing with waking people up, there's just so many diverse energies and frequencies zapping around. I just can't see how it's not going to go in waves, you know?
Yeah. It's exponential. Like each wave comes in, it's stronger and stronger and stronger. And there's lessons in each wave. And then eventually we're going to hit that point where you either get it or you don't. And also too, when people cross over, they can be taught in the astral level much easier. They get the big aha. They're not trapped in all the social programming and everything else. And there's a burn when you cross over where you lose a lot of that stuff too. So it's that's the good news, is that there is a lot of forgiveness and a lot of help, you know, to get you out of that mindset, out of those old programs on the other side.
Yeah, to learn to let go and to teach each other how to remember are two really cool tasks.
Yeah, we hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. So it's been awesome having you on the show. Keep up the great work you're doing. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on. Real treat. AboveDuality.com, across all the social medias, Above Duality. There's another Above Duality on YouTube. So I was about to get on there and say get off, but they were there well before me. So I was second to getting the name. Anyway, but I'm most active on Twitter. We've got some big projects coming out with some very exciting people, some really good round tables coming up. And again, James, thank you for your service to humanity, my friend. You and what you're doing is legendary. I know you don't want the credit, but take some. I'm very grateful for people like yourself who are just beautiful souls and bringing the light. So thank you.
All right. Can't thank you enough for coming on the show. All right, folks, we're out of time, unfortunately. So keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and stop looking at your feet and look up at the sky. There's a lot going on up there. We're filming it almost every night up here. So have a great evening. Good night.